Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to the ASM conference call. Mr. Leonard Lee, please be in call and I'll be standing by. Just a reminder, during the Q&A session, please limit your question to one. Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ASM Pacific Technology 2019 Annual Results Announcement Investor Conference Call. Before we proceed, I would like to note that during this conference call, there may be certain forward-looking statements with respect to ASM Pacific Technology's business and financial conditions. Such forward-looking statements may involve known and unknown uncertainties and risks which could cause actual results, performance, and events to differ materially from those expressed or implied during this conference call. For reference, the IR presentation related to our 2019 annual results can be downloaded from our website, www.asmpacific.com. With us this morning are Mr. W.K. Lee, CEO of ASM Pacific Technology, and Mr. Robin Ng, CFO of ASM Pacific Technology. Our CFO, Robin, who is also our CEO designate, will start with a brief discussion about our 2019 annual results, followed by a Q&A session. Without further ado, let me hand this over to Robin, please.
Thank you, Leonard. Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you joining us for our 2019 fourth quarter and annual results investor conference call today. I will first provide you with a summary of the company's performance, followed by the Q&A session. In 2019, the semiconductor industry went through a slowdown, largely due to global economic uncertainties amid the trade war and weaker demand from some end markets such as optoelectronics and automotive. Let me first give you some highlights to the 2019 fourth quarter numbers, followed by the full year. During the fourth quarter, the group achieved US$568 million in revenue, an increase of 7% over the preceding quarter, and a decrease of 6.7% over the fourth quarter of 2018. For group bookings, we recorded US$445.2 million, a decrease of 13.3% and 6.1% over the preceding quarter and the fourth quarter of 2018, respectively. In terms of net profit, excluding restructuring costs and related tax effect of HK$106.9 million, we achieved net profit of HK$328.7 million, an increase of 47.9% over the preceding quarter, and an increase of 44.4% over the fourth quarter of 2018. As such, the group managed to re-establish momentum in its business in the second half of the year with a strong 18.3% revenue growth and 149.1% improvement in net profits over the first half of the year. For the full results, despite the challenging economic conditions, ASMPT made good progress during the year as a result of successfully implementing a range of initiatives, such as focusing on higher growth markets and realigning operations to reduce costs. For 2019, group revenue came in at US$2.03 billion, a decrease of 18.8% over 2018. New order bookings came in at US$2.02 billion, a decrease of 21.5% over 2018. Net profit came in at HK$729.2 million, excluding restructuring costs and related tax effect, representing a decrease of 67.3% over 2018. Before I go through the segment results, let me provide you with a quick overview. During the fourth quarter, both the back-end equipment segment and the SMT solution segment achieved revenue which was better than our guidance. The back-end equipment segment revenue achieved both Q&Q and year-on-year growth, while the SMT solution segment revenue achieved Q&Q growth, but on a year-on-year basis declined as guided. Material segment performed in line with guidance with revenue growth for both Q&Q and year-on-year. Group bookings declined 13.3% Q&Q due to seasonal pattern and in line with our guidance. In 2019, back-end equipment segment contributed 44.1%. In 2018, was 47.4% of the group's total revenue. it continued to hold the number one position in the global market, a position it first attained in 2002. It has also further widened the revenue gap with the closest rival. On a full-year basis, gross margin of this segment was adversely impacted because of lower revenue and lower manufacturing capacity utilization. However, demand momentum for traditional tools, in particular wire bonders, started to pick up in the second half of the year. Traditional tools like wire bonders typically have lower margin compared with advanced packaging and CIS tools. This, coupled with higher IC and LED but lower CIS mix revenue, pulled down the gross margin for the fourth quarter. The group continued to make progress in its advanced packaging business. Revenue from advanced packaging contributed to more than 20% of the revenue of the back-end equipment segment. CIS and advanced packaging tools collectively contributed to more than 50% of the segment's revenue. Billings for CIS and advanced packaging grew year-on-year, despite the soft market condition in 2019. CIS billings continue its momentum in 2019, brought about by the rising adoption of smartphones with higher resolution cameras, multi-camera features, 3D sensing, TOF, wide field of view, and telescopic lens features. In fact, full-year billings for CIS grew year-on-year, while billings for IC and discrete and LED declined. ASM Next made a significant contribution to the bookings and billings of the IC and discrete business in 2019. It has also strengthened ASMPT's position in the advanced packaging market. The group remains confident that its investment in advanced packaging over the past few years has put ASMPT well ahead of its peers. With effect from fiscal year 2020, we will rename the back-end equipment segment to Semiconductor Solutions segment. This is to better reflect the inclusion of the ASM Next business acquired in October 2018, which served the mid-end deposition tools market and has grown to become a significant part of the business, as well as the group's transition to an integrated hardware and software solution provider for the semiconductor packaging market. In 2019, the material segment contributed 11.7%. For 18, it was 11.5% of the group's total revenue. The segment recorded four consecutive quarters of Q-on-Q growth in bookings. The semiconductor is clearly on the path of recovery. Gross margin in the fourth quarter was adversely impacted by the increase in commodity price, in particular copper and palladium. On a full-year basis, gross margin declined largely due to the drop in revenue. As part of an ongoing effort to drive for greater efficiencies and to reduce costs, the group decided to relocate the lead frame operations in Singapore to the newly expanded Malaysian plant. The relocation to the Malaysian plant starts in Q1 2020 and is expected to be fully completed by the mid of 2021. The group also decided to discontinue the molded interconnect substrate, or short name MIS, business in Q1 2020 after an extensive evaluation of the competitive landscape of this business. The group is of the opinion that the conventional substrate has an edge over MIS in terms of price and technical features like finer line spacing and higher I/O capabilities. This continuation is expected to have minimal impact on the group's revenue. These two initiatives that we have undertaken will have a positive impact on the segment's gross margin and profitability going forward. The SMT solution segment contributed 44.2%. In 18 was 41.1% to the group's revenue in 2019. Despite the headwinds of weak economic conditions and the slowdown in the automotive demand, the SMT solution segment benefited from the increase in 5G infrastructure-related investment. However, the higher revenue contribution from China and the slowdown of the automotive industry adversely impacted the gross margin of the segment on a full-year basis. To mitigate this segment has looked at ways to lower its cost of operation. One initiative was to increase the volume of assembly work done in Malaysia after the group has expanded the plant there. The other was to deploy a satellite operation in Hungary to support the assembly operation in Munich, Germany. This segment recorded an improvement in gross margin Q-on-Q and year-on-year for the fourth quarter, due partly to the warranty provision write-back, indicating that the tools sold were reliable and thus less warranty claims are needed. There was also a one-off charge in Q4 2018 relating to the discontinuation of the solar business, which pulled down the gross margin in that particular quarter. Looking ahead, the group ended the year with an increased optimism that the global semiconductor manufacturing equipment and material sales are expected to stage a 2020 recovery and set a new high in 2021. There are several other factors contributing to this optimism. Pickup in demand from Chinese manufacturers to localize the supply chain, the accelerated deployment of 5G infrastructure, the rollout of 5G handsets, and the progress the group is making in capturing new market opportunities such as advanced packaging, silicon photonics, IIoT, mini and micro LED solutions, power semiconductors, Industry 4.0 solutions, and AOI, which stands for Automatic Optical Inspection. The rapidly escalating COVID-19 outbreak has struck China at a time when its economy has grown larger and established greater connections with the rest of the world. Given the widespread nature of the outbreak and the fact that it's still evolving, the impact to the group is unclear and difficult to estimate at this point in time. Due to the extended shutdown in China during and after the Chinese New Year, the group had lost around one-third of its production capacity in China in Q1 2020. On a full-year basis, we estimate the impact to be less than 10%. While the booking momentum was certainly tempered by the COVID-19 outbreak, we are cautiously optimistic that Q1 2020 group booking will achieve a year-on-year growth. Based on our estimate at this time of this announcement, we anticipate that Q1 2020 group revenue will be in the range of between US$370 million to US$450 million, and more than likely the group will record a loss for Q1 2020. With this, we thank you for your attention and we are ready to take your questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now poll for questions. If you'd like to register for questions, please press star 1 on your telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 to register for questions. Thank you. Our first question comes from Li Ping Hua from CICC. Thank you.
Thank you to take my question. I have two questions. The first one is about your first quarter guidance. Can you show us some colors on this, the uncertainty of the guidance, which is mainly come from the Chinese customer, or which type of the product you are affected, or which type of the customer you are affected? Thank you. The second question. Maybe I just save all the two questions. So the second question is that we see the news say the U.S. may introduce new regulation on Huawei. If you have some American materials, you cannot supply to Huawei. So can you share that? Do you have any U.S. material, because most of your operation in Asia, if any regulation is introduced, will you be affected? Thank you.
Let me answer the first question first. For the Q1 guidance, I would say as of this point of time, we have received very strong booking before Chinese New Year. So that's why booking-wise, we are still cautiously optimistic that unless customers start to hold back and push back, otherwise it's very likely we will achieve a year-on-year growth for Q1 booking. After the Chinese New Year, when factories in China, our customers in China start to resume their operations, we have extensive check with customers. As of today, we don't see any significant cancellation, almost zero. Small push out, that's reasonable because of their factories reopening has been delayed. But most customers are indicating for the orders they have placed to us, they still want it to be delivered in March, April timeframe. So the push out will be in a month, maximum 2 months time. So as of this moment in time, you can see definitely it will affect our Q1 billing because our own production capacity has been affected. Our suppliers in China also has been stopped, so they have interrupted our supply chain. However, there has less impact on the SMT because SMT mainly manufacturing location for us are in Munich and Malaysia. However, they also face some tight supply issues because the supply chain in China has been stopped. It has bigger impact on the back-end equipment as well as the materials. So I would say this is the picture. So if the activity in China can be resumed very quickly, actually we are pretty optimistic about that. However, with the development for the last few days in Korea, in Europe, in Middle East, I would say that casts more uncertainty looking forward. Okay. Whereas for the U.S. Regulation changes, I would say this is still a rumor at this point in time. We don't know the content of the changes, so it's difficult for us to comment. In general, I would say for high-tech products, high-tech equipment, like what we are producing, it's difficult not to have U.S. contents over there. Okay, so I would say only until we know more about whether there's really such a restriction, what is the scope of the restriction, I think at this point in time it's difficult for us to comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Kenna Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Thank you. My first question is about the fourth quarter back-end equipment revenue and also the branded gross margin for the group is actually better than guidance. Where is the upside came from? Is this because of the mobile or like 5G infrastructure continue to drive the upside? The second question is about looking into the advanced packaging, we see the NICs, that there's a new customer base. So I just wonder if like it is is it actually from Japan customer, because we noticed that the Japan revenue from Japan is actually achieved a year-over-year growth in 2019. Is this due to advanced packaging? Thanks.
Hi, Kina, this is Robin. On the gross margin development for Q4, yes, indeed, it came in better than what we have guided. We guided slightly down. However, it was aided also by the top line, you know, so our top line, increased for back end. So that also helped to, push out the margin. Now, the other factor affecting the blended margin is SMT. SMT, as I read out the conference note just now, you notice that we had to true up our warranty claim provision because of better performance in the field, in terms of our quality. So by truing up, that also helped the gross margin of SMT. So as to your second question in terms of customer mix, yes, you can see Japan has now become the number five major location for us. So indeed, we said inside the announcement as well that right now we have leading high density substrate makers, in the Japan area.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sebastian Ho from CLSA. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. If I look at gross margin, the profile in the past few years, I know it's been declining.
So my question is that how do you, what happened in the past few years regarding your product mix or price erosion, competition, etc. have driven that? And also the, from this point onwards, what's your outlook down the road? Whether we could have some visibility to recover gross margin by 30s or even 40%, and under what kind of the revenue scale or what kind of the product mix? Also, the, some of the exciting new products on the advanced packaging side, do you see that could be the game changer to inflection point to drive your margin upward again? That's my first question.
Now, in terms of your first question, the GM trending down over the years, I think one of the factors that you should know is also volume does play a big part. You know, to a certain extent, you know, we have internal manufacturing. So internal manufacturing comes with you know, a fixed cost element. So imagine if the volume comes down, a margin tend to be lower. You know, so I think that's a fact that I think we should know. Now, let me comment a little bit more on SMT. Now, SMT margin has indeed come down in the recent quarters. We have explained in a couple of quarters already that on one hand, we make good progress in terms of penetration into the Chinese branded smartphone arena. But on the other hand, typically for China mix, they typically have a lower a margin compared to European or American mix. So as a result of our sustained penetration into the Chinese market for SMT smartphone, we have to trade off the gross margin.
Got it. Thank you. I just to follow on that, I understand the revenue scale that, yes, revenue come down, your average fixed cost is higher, so margins are lower. But even we compare your current revenue at, like, for example, right now it's about 4 billion Hong Kong dollars, this level, 4.5 billion this dollar level, compared to the past 2 years. The margin is still lower. It used to be the high 30s, but now it's like low to mid 30s. That's my, but maybe you already answered that because some of the SMT margin is lower. Yeah. But my second follow on that is the, I think in the prepared remark, that you mentioned you're pretty positive about the recovery in 2020 and also the set new high in 2021. And the first reason you mentioned is driven by the China localizing the supply chain. So if I put into context that, which means that China may potentially be one of the many drivers next year, and localization of the manufacturing, which I will assume that maybe a large part of it, but not all, could still be relatively require a low-end, B to low-end technology equipment. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if that should be the case, which means that your margin recovery may not be that strong down the road if China continue to be. Is that the right way to think about?
This is WK here. You will be surprised to see that actually the China localization actually is not really that low end. They are not having the highest, I would say, the most advanced packaging equipment yet. But because you know, the driver behind all this demand are still the high end smartphones, you know, infrastructure equipment. So actually, those semiconductor chips are quite advanced. So probably from the media report, we also know those chips are fabricated with almost the most advanced wafer loop technology. So that's why, from a packaging point of view, it's also quite advanced. So I would not, you know, consider this localization necessarily drive down our gross margin. Yeah.
Okay. My second question, and after this I'll go back to the queue, is that how's the overall outlook on the OSAP market? And also the follow-up on this one is you mentioned that the pre-virus outlook before Chinese New Year, the booking was very strong. And what has been most, which segment has been most impacted on the booking side after Chinese New Year? Is it OSAT or SMT? And how's your overall outlook for the OSAT market for this year?
Well, actually, we don't know yet your answer to your question, because as you see, the Chinese customer only start to resume work in the last two weeks and gradually, and I think probably everybody assessing the situation, solving the manpower supply issue, because the transportation system in China, you know, has the traffic volume has reduced significantly. So I think people are coping with all these changes. So so far, as Robin has elaborated, last year we see this communication mobile segment is the strongest segment for us. While overall business has come down, but this particular segment actually we made the number one and actually performing quite good. So we expect this will be still the segment to drive the business. In particularly, besides of the 5G infrastructure, we also see the 5G handset devices will come on board strongly in this year. So I think this will still be one of the major sector driving the business.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Donnie Tang from Nomura. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, management. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is to have a follow-up from Leping and Sebastian's question. So if breakdown into a different business segment, i.e. IC discrete, CIS, LED, SMT, so do you have any idea about what's the outlook change before and after coronavirus outbreak? Because I was thinking that maybe CIS and SMT will be hammered much more than other business because they are more leaning toward to module and assemblers. And could you also elaborate more what kind of booking momentum we used to have before Chinese New Year? Because our guidance right now is like the booking still growing year on year. But I'm just curious about if we just look at January, what kind of a booking momentum in terms of year on year and month on month magnitude would be. And my second question is regarding to our capacity. So for ASEAN Pacific, how much percentage of capacity is now in China and what kind of equipment is made in China's factories? And lastly is a housekeeping question. So the OPEX was still pretty high in the fourth quarter. What kind of expectation for OPEX into 2020? Thank you.
Well, I think regarding the question on comparing the demand, the impact, you know, before and after the COVID-19 outbreak, actually, I would say today is very difficult to really have an answer to this question. No customer really give us an indication that after this shutdown, you know, they want to push back significantly, they want to cancel. As I mentioned earlier, there's almost no cancellation. The pushback is more of because of the delay in this reopening of the factory, you know. So the indication still talking about 1 to 2 months. And actually, I also forgot to mention just now, on the other hand, there are also some customers actually pull out their delivery, okay? So today, our headache is to struggle our production capacity to satisfy the delivery demand by our customer, rather than to deal with the delay rescheduling of their delivery. When they tell us they want to delay it by a few weeks, actually, strictly speaking, at this point in time, it's a relief for them, for us, rather than a headache. So regarding the booking momentum before Chinese New Year, The booking was received only for 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of January, but it was a very strong number. You can imagine there's so much uncertainty around this COVID-19 outbreak, but we're still cautiously optimistic about a year-on-year booking growth for Q1. So if there's no good confidence, we won't dare to comment on this one, okay? So I would say that is the situation. In terms of our capacity in China, as I mentioned earlier, it affects our back-end equipment and materials business more. China contributes to a very significant part of our capacity for back-end equipment and also materials, more than 50%. For our factory in Malaysia and Singapore, we also depend on supply, you know, material supply, module supply from China. So when China was shut down, so it affected us quite badly. Okay. So with SMT, the assembly locations mainly in Munich and also Malaysia. But however, once again, when it comes to material supply, module supply is still from China. On the OPEX side, actually, if you compare on a full year basis, the group actually has come down. The OPEX has come down. If we take away the acquisition, because in 2018 we have a three acquisitions. The Amica was effected in this April. Then this critical manufacturing in August, and this leaks in October. So in when you compare the 2018 OPEX, so it's not an apple to apple comparison. So that's why when you compare to this, you still see a high sign. However, on 2020, you can make the assumption that we will do a very good effort to maintain the 2020 OPEX at a similar level, a slightly low single digit, higher than 2019. That's our target.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Arthur Lai from Citigroup. Thank you. Arthur, please go ahead with your questions.
Hi, thank you, WK and Robin and Lena. I want to ask the next question. You just mentioned this business created significant booking and billing in 2019. And we also recall last time clients had qualification timing situation. Can you elaborate what's the current progress? And also, in your long-term view, is that the multi-year growth category in your business? That's my first question. Thank you.
Arthur, we can't really hear you, but I suppose you're referring to the revenue recognition that we mentioned in Q3, right? So, yes, maybe I'll answer that question first. Yeah. So, yes, indeed, we told you that in Q3, we had to defer a certain amount of revenue recognition for the next tools to Q4. Yes, indeed, we have realized, those revenue already in Q4. And that's also partly why, the Q4 billing was better than expected. So we have resolved that. But however, next are supplying typically new tools, so there are still some tools that are still subject to a certain condition, which is basically have to be accepted by customer before they can recognize. But we don't, at this point in time, we don't see a major issue, in recognizing those new tools as well.
Thank you. And second question is from your presentation, you highlight that CIS Plus, the advanced packaging, make up over 50% of the back-end revenue. Can you give us more color about the growth momentum of this 50%? Is very strong, or you think some you know, pent-up demand in the second half of this year? And how is the margin assumption compared to the other business, such as SMT or such as material? Thank you.
Arthur, I think you're right. We make a statement that, you know, for 2019, the contribution by advanced packaging and CIS are more than 50%, and AP, advanced packaging, is more than 20% of the back-end revenue segment. Now, we mentioned before, typically for these two segments, they command a better margin than the traditional tools. Now, as to your forecast, as I said you know, earlier, is because of this situation, the current situation is really difficult to forecast too long down the road, you know, for this particular segment as well.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kenneth Wong from Credit Suisse. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my question again. So I wanted to follow up about the CIS, because we see that AOI business actually grew like 4 times in last year. And is this also booked in the CIS? And is this also the driver that CIS at the end achieved a year-over-year growth last year? And the second thing is about the outlook this year, because we also see more upgrade in the smartphone side this year. And could what kind of like growth momentum we should expect? Could we like see like this another like kind of like major upgrade at the back for 3D and also for those like AR feature could drive the momentum like 20, maybe kind of 2017 or something? And is this like contribute from the new machine that you provide to the dedicated customer? Thanks.
This is Dr. K here. For the AOI business, we recognize the revenue according to the business application. So for the CIS part, they are grouped under CIS. For those for the ICT discrete area, they will group under the ICT discrete. Okay. So as I Bobby has mentioned, last year most of the business came from relating to AOI came from CIS. So they are part of the CIS business revenue. Yes, we expect, for your second question, we expect more smartphone upgrade. So, however, whether this COVID-19 outbreak will push back, it, we don't know, because I think it really depends on the COVID-19 outbreak, how much it will damage the global economy, how much it will damage this consumer demand. So at this point in time, a little bit too early for us to comment on this one. Assuming this outbreak is not going to have a serious effect on the global economy, so actually we are expecting, original expectation, this would be a good year for the this smartphone infrastructure related area.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Flora Lai from Hang Seng Bank. Thank you.
Morning, management. Thank you for taking my questions. I got 3 questions down the row. The first question is that I just want to confirm that there are actually 4 main manufacturing arms in China, including Weizhou, Longgang, and then Fuyong, and then Chengdu. Is it all 4 of them is already operating now? This is my first question. And the second question is about SMT. I saw that in the presentation, SMT has been a little bit going down because of there is a weakness in automotive, especially in Europe. Do you expect that this sluggish demand will continue in 2020? And my last question will be about the outlook. I saw that in the presentation that ASMPT is going to experience loss making in the first Q, more than likely. So do you expect that this will be turned around in the second quarter of 2020? Thank you for taking my questions.
So this is WK here. I think for the your question on the first one, actually we have 3 manufacturing plants in China, in Weizhou, in Longgang, and in Fuzhou. The facility in Chengdu is an R&D center. Yes, they are, all four of them has already resumed operation. For the three manufacturing plants in the southern part of China, this week we are already reaching around 70 to 80% of workforce already working in the plant. So we are expecting by end of this week, we should be able to achieve slightly more than 80% workforce working in the plant. We still have ranging, depends on the plant, ranging from 10 to 20% people has not been able to come back to
this application, whether it's really will take off this year or what it's still next year's story. Thank you.
CIS market for the backend equipment. Let me talk about the backend equipment first. Now, for among all the backend equipment segment, CIS, IC discrete, and LED, CIS is it was the only segment that saw bookings and billing grew year on year. IC discrete and LED came down. However, within the IC discrete segment, the advanced packaging did well, so that's why we highlighted that the advanced packaging now contributed to more than 20% of the back-end equipment segment. So in short, CIS, advanced packaging did well. Now, for advanced packaging, you can also attribute this to also NEXX. NEXX has done very well this year since the acquisition. We acquired them in October 2018. For one quarter this year, we reported a full year result for NEXX, and I'm happy to, and also happy to let you know that in just 1 year after we acquired them, they have turned in a small profit already for ASMPT.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alpha Lai from Citigroup. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my second question. So, I think this virus also change our life, such as using more online education from kids and also cloud computing remotely. How do you impact your data center's demands? Can you share with the impact to the each product line? Thank you.
We are not able to tell at this point. It's still early. However, we do expect after the COVID-19, probably the impact actually should be positive. I think in our opinion, more organization, more countries, more society will get more prepare for this kind of online, a remote kind of learning, even work from home, So this kind of setup. So we do expect it will have a positive impact, But I don't think our customer can react so fast yet, yes, at this point in time. So I would say if you ask me at this point in time, I can't tell. We don't really see that impact yet, but we do expect it will come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kenan Wong from Credit Suisse.
Hi, Robin. I just wanted to follow up the question that Le Ping actually asked, because I think you addressed the segment growth, the outlook is more to 2019, because you mentioned about CIS and also advanced packaging in growth, where the others done. But I think Le Ping also wanted to check out the outlook in 2020 and also the LED recovery. I mean, if the LED segment will see the recovery in 2020 driven by mini or micro LEDs.
I think on the LED, yes, I think so far today we see the booking for LED has been quite encouraging. It has certainly gone up compared to Q4 as well. So I think that's a good sign, a very good start for LED at this point in time.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next question comes from Simon Wu from BOA. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just a follow-up question regarding the mini or micro LED, which shows very tiny chips per wafer. So the question is, you know, LED chip makers or packaging guys need a new, you know, assembly packaging machine of the ASMPT, given the fact that 1 unit of the, you know, micro LED, even much, much smaller than 1 square millimeter, is micromillimeter, you know, level. So existing typical LED backend machine not enough for the micro LED packaging process, or they need a completely brand new ASMPT, you know, backend machine? Thank you.
This is WK here. Well, for the micro LED, that they definitely need to have a brand new equipment because the chips are so small. Okay, so the traditional or conventional packaging equipment not suitable for them. For the mini LED, technically speaking, people can use the traditional assembly equipment to do it. However, then the throughput, the cost will be very high because LED panel, you take a 4K resolution LED panel, it will consist of 24 million of LED, you know. So it will take long time to transfer those LED one by one to do the wire bonding one by one. So actually, they are, or at least ASMPT is promoting a new way of assembling it, okay? So that's why today, we are working with many mini and micro LED makers, you know, not only the LED packaging houses, but also the panel makers together. So we are promoting a new concept of assembling all those equipment. And today, I think, ASM is almost the only company, you know, proposing those effective solutions. In micro LED, I will say we are far ahead of anybody else at this point in time.
Yeah, very, very clear, sir. Lastly, any shareholder return policy for 2020? Who are the payout ratio target? Thank you very much.
So we had declared a dividend of second half of 2019 of 70 cents Hong Kong dollar. So if you take the first half dividend of 130, and then you take our earning per share of 152 for the full year, we are talking about a very high payout ratio of 132% for the full year of 2019. Now, on this note, we also want to stress a few things. You know that we have been promoting a sustainable and a gradually increasing policy since 2017. Now, based on this policy, you probably would realize that, the second half of 2018, we declared a dividend of $1.40 Hong Kong dollar. So this time around, on the second half of 2019, we are only proposing a half of it. So we are fully aware of it. We want to stress that we are fully committed, you know, to continue this sustainable and gradually increasing dividend policy. However, I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that the COVID-19 outbreak is a highly uncertain event, rapidly evolving. A situation, things outside China are getting, you know, not better. You know, every day we see more and more infections, you know, outside China, especially in Korea, especially in Europe and the Middle East. So we also kind of worry how this will develop in the near term. So as a prudent measure, we decided to not pay out the a full dividend of $1.40. However, we pay half of it, and as you see in the announcement, as soon as the economic condition improve and ASMPT, you know, starts to make a good profit, you know, we are committed to pay the balance of the 70 cents, you know, when such condition prevail.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any questions, please press star 1 on your telephone. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 to register for questions. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is star 1 to register for questions. Thank you. There seems to be no further questions at this point in time. Mr. Lee, would you like to wrap up the call? Thank you.
Well, I think we've had a very good discussion this morning with very good questions. In interest of time, we would like to conclude this call. And we would like to thank you very for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again next time. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your participation. Let's conclude your conference. Thank you.